Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Luke's English Podcast is made possible thanks to support from my sponsors, and in the case of this episode, that's Spoken. And Spoken helps people all around the world to improve their English through messaging platforms like WhatsApp or WeChat. And with Spoken, you are connected to a native English-speaking coach, and you can take lessons anytime you want that focus on the English that you need for real-life situations to improve your speaking, your listening, and your comprehension skills. It's like having an English teacher in your pocket, but smaller. So, English lessons sent directly by a teacher to your phone through your favourite messaging app. That's what Spoken offer to you. And the guys at Spoken are offering all of you, my listeners, two free lessons and then 20% off all of their courses. Two free lessons and 20% off everything. To get those free lessons and that discount, go to getspoken.com/LEP or click a Spoken logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, folks. Welcome to the podcast. I'm going to keep this introduction as brief as possible so that we can get straight into it. This one is a conversation with friend of the podcast, Paul Taylor. It was lots of fun to record. I hope it's also lots of fun to listen to. There are links, videos, word lists, and song lyrics with vocabulary and definitions on the episode page on the website that can help you to understand and learn more English from this conversation. You should know that there is some swearing in this episode, some rude words and language, rude language, just letting you know in advance. Try not to laugh on the bus while you're listening to this. That might be embarrassing for you. That's a challenge from me to you. Try not to giggle, because everyone will look at you and they will feel either jealous or confused or both at your public display of the joy which will be bursting forth from your heart as you listen to Paul's infectious laughter. So no giggling or cracking up in public, please. Get a grip on yourself, for goodness sake. You might be thinking, but Luke, where's Amber? All will be revealed. Just listen on, you'll find out. Keep listening also until the end of the episode for more additional extra bonus fun from us to you. Okay then, that's all for the introduction. Let's go. Hello, Paul Taylor. How are you today?
Hello, Luke Thompson. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Very well, too. Thank you. Why are we speaking like this?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Okay. Anyway, Paul Taylor is back on the podcast.
Hi, everyone.
So, what's the situation, Paul?
The situation is we're in your living room. Mm-hmm. You paid for lunch, which was very nice of you. We had a crepe or a crepe.
I thought they were quite good, actually.
Depending on where you're from, you pronounce it differently.
Yeah, crepe.
Well, Australians say crepe because crepe sounds like crap.
Yeah.
And so they have to say crepe. Americans say crepe. They don't say, can I have crepe. A crepe? They say crepe. I don't know why. Can they elongate the A, the E.
So crepe.
A crepe. In England, we say crepe because that's how it's spelt.
And in France?
Crepe.
Okay. And what is a crepe?
It's a thin pancake.
Okay.
It's a pancake, but thinner.
And
it's a French pancake.
How is it
basically
served?
A bit of flour, bit of egg, bit of milk, whisked together.
You whisk it.
Yeah. You make it to a little paste.
Do you get that noise when you whisk things?
Yeah. Get that noise when most things happen. You
really?
Know? Yeah. You know, if I need to go to the toilet in the middle of a meeting, I just go, you know.
And they're like, oh, Paul needs to go to the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. It's
okay.
Yeah, so you whisk it up. That's whisking. That's whisking. That's kneading. Kneading bread is a
kneading bread. You're going to have to explain
bread
that.
It's making bread. When you make bread, you've got to fold it into itself. When you're making the flour and water paste, whatever it is, well, I don't know what the base is called. Whatever you, in English, you fold it into itself, and then it's called kneading. So you knead it with a K.
When you've mixed all the ingredients together, you get this soft stuff. The
like Play-Doh.
Dough.
Yeah.
Dough. D-O-U-G-H.
D-O-U-G-H. And you knead it with a K-N-E-A-D.
Spelling attack.
Yeah.
Spelling, when spelling strikes back.
Yeah. That's why we can't cook or bake anything in England. That's why our bread making skill, because we can't even pronounce what we need to do.
We can't.
Sorry,
spell
I need to knead the dog. The dog.
Dough. D-O-U-G-H. That's all of the flour and all the
water. Flour and water.
It's just flour?
It's just flour and water.
It's more than that, isn't it?
No, and yeast.
And yeast. It's got to be more than that.
No, that's it. Flour, water,
bit of salt
yeast.
And sugar, maybe?
Yeah, maybe salt.
Yeah, blood. Bit of salt and sugar.
Yeah, blood. But
wait a minute.
Anyway.
Wait a minute. Dough.
Yeah.
Flour, water, maybe a little bit of salt and sugar, and then some yeast.
Yeah.
And that's the soft stuff that you use to make bread, yeah. And that's dough. And kneading dough, not N-E-E-D, but K-N-E-A-D-I-A-D.
I think so.
Is it?
It might not even be that. I've just made up a spelling for something.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. Kneaders. Wait a minute. I'm just Googling it. Wikipediaing it. Knead. To work moistened flour, dough, something into dough, or a paste with your hands.
Yeah.
Just like you press it with your hands or your knuckles, yeah. Kneading it.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like when a cat massages you or something, when it kind of just it's almost the same movement.
Like when a cat it gets comfortable and it presses its paws into a soft surface, usually like your belly or something.
Exactly.
And it's basically kneading you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that cats like
I think they just want bread.
They obviously they couldn't be great bakers.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
But they've got the kneading down fine. Maybe this is what this is the secret of Paris's greatest bakers. They're using cats.
Using cats to knead the bread.
But there's a downside to that, isn't there? Because you might get a little hair in the bread.
You might get bits of shit in the bread.
Right.
Since cats go to the litter box, shit, and cover it up with their own paws, and then just walk around the house. They don't clean their hands.
And then they lick their bums.
Exactly.
They're disgusting, aren't they?
Yeah.
You've got two cats, you have?
I do have two cats, yeah. They're annoying. I can't even remember why we started talking about
this. So we were talking about, you were in my flat.
Yeah.
And then we ended up talking
about... Oh, and we had crepes, yeah.
We had crepes. Which are, yeah, like these flat things and you
sit... Yeah, I don't think anyone in the world listening to this podcast... If you don't know what a crepe is, please comment that you had to know what crepe is. Because I think everyone in the world knows what crepe
Someone's not going to know what crepe is.
Everyone knows what a crepe is.
I've got people...
Challenge, the Luke's English Podcast Challenge. If you didn't know what crepe means, email it in or send a comment on your thing. And then if for every person that didn't know what a crepe was, then what do I have to do, Luke?
You have to send.
I have to buy you a beer.
You have to buy me a beer, and you have to send them a signed copy of a photograph of you. You could choose either it's a copy of you smiling with your thumbs up like that, hey guys,
yeah.
Or you could send them a copy of you
eating a crepe,
or a copy.
Or I could just send them a crepe,
to wrap it up in an envelope and send it off to wherever it's going to be. Or it could be a picture of you, I don't know.
No, everyone knows what a crepe is, it's fine.
Okay then. Well, they certainly do now.
Yeah.
We had crepes with what? Like egg and ham?
I had ham, egg and spinach.
Ham, egg and spinach.
And you had ham, egg and cheese.
I did, didn't I? I went for the cheese, not the spinach. Why did you choose spinach?
It's healthier than cheese.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good point.
Tastes not as good, but it's healthier.
Yeah, it's got a bit of iron in it.
Yeah, and then I took all the health away by having a salted caramel dessert crepe.
Right, which is the tastiest crepe.
It's amazing.
It's basically
it's
butter.
Unbelievable.
It's just butter and sugar wrapped in a crepe.
And salt.
And salt, that's right. Yeah.
Salted butter.
Yum, salted yum, caramel. Yum, yum, yum. Okay, so anyway, you're here in my flat.
Yes.
Talking bollocks.
Yeah, as usual.
Which is, you know, it's all right though, isn't it? That yeah. talking bollocks sometimes.
Yeah, some people, yeah, some of your people like when we talk bollocks because they get to just listen to standard conversation.
Yeah,
and it's good apparently.
Do we talk like this normally when we're not recording the podcast?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think
we might talk quicker and
you think so?
Maybe.
Well, we don't stop to explain everything.
No. Yeah. Every time I say a word, you know, I go, oh, hold on, got to explain that.
That's right.
For my listeners that aren't listening.
Yeah, for people in, you know.
No, but wherever. I think so. I think we chat normally, okay. More or less.
Yeah. I think what happens is when we have lunch, we talk about all the serious stuff, get that all out the way.
Yeah.
So that the...
Well, because it's boring stuff that I don't think listeners... It's like the comedy industry in France versus the comedy industry, you know, so I think it's a bit of a boring topic. Maybe it's not, but, you know, well, we've already had the discussion now, so we're not going to have it again, but we can talk about other stuff that's going on.
Personal stuff, you know, things like that. But anyway, actually, I feel like I should say to you, before we go any further, I should go, as it can.
As it can.
Because we did establish that before, to remember, on the podcast last time you were on.
Vaguely, yeah. As it can.
All right, mate, as it can.
As it can.
So how is it, Gan?
It's Gan. Well, G-A-R-N.
Oh, another thing.
Yeah.
No, there's no Amber.
Yes.
What's going on? What's going on?
No, Amber's not here. She had to put her child into school. Was his first day at school.
There's this thing called school.
Yeah, there's this thing called school when we're young, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I've forgotten about. But yeah, today was the first day back at school for all the French kids. So they were like, oh, everyone's going mental. It's been on the news for about 2 weeks. Oh, school's starting again. Go buy your backpacks and your books and your pens. And mate, the amount of news reports we've been watching on TV about all these parents that are like, oh, it's outrageous that there's so many different brands of backpacks now that you have to buy. It's such boring shit. Yeah. Just like, just buy it and shut up. Why is this news? Why is this? There's other stuff going on on the planet that's more important than your child buying a fucking backpack.
Is this going to go into your next TV show?
I don't know. But, you know, because yesterday there was something about Trump. It's Monday morning, by the way, people, on the 4th of August. No, 4th of September.
Yeah.
And Sunday, yesterday, the Korean guy... did another missile test or whatever. And
the Korean guy?
Yeah, the Korean...
You mean Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, that guy.
North Korean guy.
The son of the Team America guy.
Right, okay.
Anyway, he did another missiles test or something, a nuclear test, whatever, and the US were like, whoa, 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 you know, arguing over Twitter like a bunch of schoolgirls. And, sorry, that's a bit sexist. School children. And no one, they didn't talk about it in the news yesterday in France. It was just like, oh no, people are going back to school. Oh, how much did this pen cost? Who cares? You won't be using the pen because you'll be dead in a nuclear war.
It would be good if they were like, which, you know, this season's anti-nuclear pens that won't melt in the nuclear fallout. Yeah, I don't know. We're talking about that like it's a bit of a joke, but... It's pretty... he's a right twat, isn't he, that?
Oh, mate. I can't believe, like, when I'm reading the BBC News now about, you know, anything that's going on in the world, it just goes... it always mentions somebody... Like, they quote tweets.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bit of information. It's Twitter. It's a social media platform. First of all, how do we know it's him that's tweeting that? Could be anyone. Mm. Like, he's got a team of people.
Who, Trump?
Yeah. I'm sure his secretary's got access to his Twitter account or whoever his publicist or whatever, so it might not even be him. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a press conference where he stood in front of people and you see him on camera saying a specific thing. It's just like, oh, on Twitter, he said Kim Jong-un's a prick or whatever.
But this is isn't this what he's trying to do? That he's actually denied access to the press. He doesn't speak to the press. He does it all through Twitter.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. You can't do that.
That's on him, though, isn't it, really? That's not the media. The media's media's trying to report it. His position is like, the media's fake. They're all fake news. They're all trying to get me. So I'm only going to talk through Twitter. I saw a really clever video on the YouTube channel Nerdwriter One, and he was talking about how he's analysed Trump's tweets,
right.
And it seems that if you look at them, some of them seem to come from his staff who sometimes tweet through his account,
yeah.
And some of them obviously come from him, and you can tell the difference. Like, the ones that come from the staff tend to be the more administrative ones,
right.
Like I'm meeting with this leader today,
right.
Or blah blah blah.
But it's all in the first person still.
Yeah,
Okay.
Exactly, but it's obviously not written by him. And then there are the tweets that are written by him, and they tend to have a certain type of language in them, a certain lack of punctuation, and also they seem to arrive at certain times of the day or night, often in the middle of the night, when most other people in the States are asleep.
Yeah.
He's awake, for whatever reason, tweeting stuff.
I don't know how he's got the time. I really don't.
I don't know either.
I mean, I'm not the busiest person on the planet. And I don't have time to tweet. Like every time I look at Twitter, I'm like, oh, I should do more communication stuff on Twitter. I should write more jokes on Twitter. I should do more stuff on anything. And I just find myself not having the time.
But I think the fact that
how does he get the time? He's the president.
Well, this is the problem, Paul. This is one of the reasons why so many people are so upset. Because like you'd say, how does he get the time to write all these tweets? Maybe he should not be on Twitter so much. Maybe he should be doing more presidential stuff.
Well, wasn't there something about... somebody said a joke about, like, oh, he's been playing golf for an average of however many days a month.
Yeah.
And people are like, it's a shame he's not playing more golf so he can just stay away from what's happening, you know?
So he doesn't... Yeah,
it's a complete shit show. It's just a soap opera. That's happening on Twitter, basically.
The worst and the kind. News.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know what the real impact of it is, though. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not that we're so far removed from it, but we're removed enough where it doesn't affect our daily lives.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hours. I mean, it obviously impacts.
Not right now, but I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't really get into all this.
Yeah.
It's just too complicated. But anyway, there is an interesting video analysing Trump's tweets. And the way he uses language in his tweets.
There's even a book about it. I was in London last week at the Notting Hill bookshop, one that's in the film Notting Hill.
Really? Does Hugh Grant work in it?
Yeah, he does, actually. He's in it all the time. He's just there smiling.
Okay, this book's absolute rubbish. It's written by me.
Yeah. But, and then Julia Roberts was there as well.
Really?
Because they obviously got married and had a kid in the film.
Uh-huh. So she's living there too.
Yeah, with the child. And the child's my age now. I was like, whoa.
Whoa,
it's not true. But the bookshop, the interesting thing about the bookshop is it's not the actual bookshop. So the film, the thing that you see in the film, the bookshop you see in the film is a shop front on Notting Hill on Portobello Road. For the film, they recreated a bookshop that's round the corner. So down another street, Portobello Road, but another street, something Crescent. There's an actual bookshop, a travel bookshop, that they recreated and put in that space. And that space now is just a crap souvenir shop where there's all sorts of like postcards of the Queen, all that kind of shit, just terrible souvenir stuff. But the bookshop that it was based on is still around. So the bookshop was there.
So it's not in the same place. It's just around the corner.
Yeah.
But you can go in. It looks the same as it did
in the film,
in the movie.
Yeah, but it's an actual bookshop where you can buy books and it's got some cool books. Anyway, one of the books in there was a book about Trump's tweets. Like, how have they made a book about this already? And two, it's out of date pretty quickly. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a...
Right. What's the angle on it, though?
I didn't even look at it.
Check out some of the stuff that Donald Trump's been writing.
It's a compilation of his tweets.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, just presented like that? Not with any ironic sort of...
I don't know. I didn't look at... I've got no idea.
Okay.
But I just thought it was interesting that they decided to make a book, like, to seal his tweets now. Whenever they made the book, like it was like, okay, this is the end of the book, but there's obviously he's still tweeting,
right?
So,
but why make the book? Why not just go, hey, it's easier and less damaging to the environment to just follow him on Twitter?
Exactly. I don't know. Ridiculous.
Okay. So basically, Amber's not here.
And
because she's gone back to school.
She's
not gone back to school.
Yeah, that took a deviation.
She's taking her son back to school. It's a very big day.
Yeah.
It's back to school. The whole country in France is going crazy about back to school, and all the news is full of stuff about kids going back to school when they should be reporting.
I mean, in a couple of years, we'll be talking about, oh, our kids went back to school today.
Oh yeah, I'm sure,
because it will be in that. You know, we'll be in that zombie apocalypse scenario.
What, of having kids?
Yeah.
Right, when the world stops and it all, a rucksack becomes the most important thing.
Yeah.
What kind of pen you're going to buy for your kids?
Well, I mean, literally, that's what it is. Like, getting pregnant, having kids, I've seen it over the last 6 years, is like a zombie apocalypse, where before you, like, before you start off, your whole group of friends don't have kids.
Yeah.
And then the first couple will decide to get married and you're like, oh, they've been bitten.
Yeah.
They've been bitten by the zombie. They're not yet turned into zombies, but they've been bitten and you're like, oh, it's only a matter of time now.
Yeah.
Then obviously then they have a kid and then you never see that couple ever again.
They're gone.
And then the other, like, you know, there was like with Addie's friends, there was maybe about, I don't know, it was a group of, let's say, five or six couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, one of them has the baby and they've gone. You never see them again, except for the, on the child's birthdays and whatever. So you never, and then so then it was down to like five couples. So then the five couples were still going out, having a good time,
yeah.
You know, going out to the park, getting drunk, completely, you know, whatever, young people stuff.
Yeah.
Then the second couple, they get bitten, they get married. They're like, oh, it's going to happen. And then they go off and then it, slowly but surely, the couples have been dropping off, and now we're left with me and Addy being the only couple that don't have kids. So
you got like one gun with one bullet left in it.
Yeah, and so the weird thing is like now we're like the op, like we, you know, you start off and people have kids around you. You start off and you go around to people's houses and all talking about kids, and you're just like, oh, the greatest boring conversation I've ever had.
Yeah.
And now we've got to the stage where we realize we're the only ones without the kids. And yeah. So we're going to have kids to be able to join back into the group of friends
yeah.
that we once lost. And now we're lost to them. It's a really weird double.
Basically, it's like The Walking Dead. Even if you don't get bitten by zombies, when you die, you'll become a zombie anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The virus works like that. So, you know, give into it, Paul. There's nothing you can
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so. I've been bitten. Obviously, my wife and I have been
yeah,
bitten.
Yeah, that's it.
So, a few months and then, pencils.
That's it.
Rucksacks.
That's it.
Baby clothes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You're in it and you're never going to get out.
That's how it feels when you are sort of, you know, not married yet or whatever, and you see your friends disappearing into baby land.
Uh-huh.
But I've since, you know, since I've become pregnant, Paul, lots of people have been saying, oh, it's wonderful. It's going to be great. You love it. You'll love it. They'll become.
Oh, so, like, but so yeah, they say that once you're pregnant, before you're pregnant, like, this is horrific. I remember Amber was like, it's fucking shit. No, I hate it. Blah, blah, blah. And but as soon as you fall pregnant, it's like, oh, it's going to be great.
No, I've had both. I swear I've had both. I've had more people telling me how awful and difficult it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually quite pleasantly surprised that recently people have been saying very nice things. I don't know why.
Mm.
I think because I announced it on the podcast and listeners have been writing very nice things.
I think it's,
but before that, like every single person I've met would be like, oh, you're going to have a baby, so you're not going to sleep, you know, you're not going to have sex anymore and your life's going to turn upside down. It's going to be really difficult. You're not going to have any time. You're going to hate yourself forever. You know, just the most.
Why do we do it, or why do they say that? Well, because why do they say that? Because maybe that's how they feel.
I think it's true. I think that probably when you have a baby or kids, suddenly you don't have any time for yourself anymore. Yeah. You're living to.
Well, you're in a different part of society.
Yeah.
Like you stop. It's I don't know. It's a really weird thing. You know, like you feel. You know, like right now, when you're not. You know. Even when you're married, it doesn't really matter. Marriage isn't the thing or not. You know, people are like, oh, when you're married, it all goes downhill. It's not when you get married. I think it is when you have kids. Like, in a sense that, like, me and Addie got married. We're the same as we were before.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Apart from I've got a ring on my finger, which is annoying when I'm brushing my teeth and trying to put gel in my hair. Or it's just annoying. It's an annoying thing to have when I'm washing my hands and the soap gets stuck underneath it.
Really?
I hate it. But apart from that, nothing's changed.
Apart from that, everything's great.
Yeah, we're the same as we were before. We go out as much as we went out before. And
it's not like you were going to sleep with lots of other women anyway.
No, exactly.
You were in a relationship.
Yeah, and I'm incapable of what's the word?
Cheating?
No, I'm incapable of what's the word? Of any chat of like going up to girls and be like, hey, check me out.
You
I'm a comedian.
You
like,
can't chirps women.
Yeah,
anymore.
I can't. I couldn't do it. I could never do it. Anyway.
By the way, to chirps women, it's not really an expression I've ever used before.
No, I've never heard of it before.
Have you ever heard that?
No, I knew what you meant, but I didn't. I've never heard of it.
It's sort of London slang.
London slang.
So
chirps.
For chatting up a woman in the street, apparently. We're in public.
Okay.
Anyway. But
chirps.
I guess so. Yeah, there it is again. Yeah.
Because it's a bird. She's a bird. Well, you chirp the bird, chirp the bird. Chirp. Whatever.
Chat up.
To chat up.
Chatting up a girl.
Incapable of doing that.
You were never capable of chatting up women?
No.
Yeah, I was always rubbish at
that. No, with Addy, there was no chatting up. We went out. I said, do you want to go out for a drink? She said, yeah. So we went out to a pub.
Bosh.
And and I didn't even make the first move. It, like about 3 o'clock in the morning, she just went, and that was it.
You snogged each other.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. But she made the move.
But anyway, made the move on you.
What I meant was, when you don't have a kid, you go out with people who don't have kids, usually. When you go out to a bar, like when it's like, oh, should we get the apéro at 5 p.m. like at the local bar?
The what?
The apéro.
It's a French thing.
Jesus Christ.
Have a drink.
Have a drink. Yeah, do you want to go out to the pub and have a drink at 5? You know, and whatever. Even at the weekend, it's like, should we go for a picnic in the park? And you spend a whole day in the park drinking, playing games, whatever.
Because you're free. You have freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And you do that with other people who you think that's society. Like, well, everyone else. And then you start realizing, actually, no, this is like a part. Like, you know, you maybe have 10 years of that.
Yeah.
Before you go into this other part of your life where
real life they call it
apparently where you don't ever do that. You do it once a month.
Yes.
And then you just spend your time going to other parents' house so the kids can play together,
right?
And where you can't have conversations because the kids are interrupting you all the time.
Yeah.
And the amount of time I can't have conversations with people who've got kids anymore because they're just always interrupting. They're always just chatting. You know, you go over the house for dinner with it's like, oh, come over and all right, cool, we'll come over. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, how's it going, Paul? I'm like, yeah, it's going really well. In fact, my show's starting. Wah, nah. Great, cool. And then you stop the conversation.
Oh, little children with their needs.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
How dare they?
It's a nightmare. I can't deal with it.
Well,
I know it's going to happen one day.
You're going to have kids?
I can't really be asked, but I think it's the order.
You can't be asked.
No, can't be bothered.
You're too lazy.
Yeah. I'm properly too lazy. I'm too egotistical and too lazy to have kids.
Well, it's only a matter of time. You'll come around.
That's the thing. It's
you'll come around.
It's the fact that everyone else, and I feel like now when I go, like, unless I keep hanging around with 23-year-olds for the rest of my life, then I'm going to have kids. Like now it's kind of, I'm holding on to the last strand, like my three best mates in England.
Yeah.
Four. None of them have got kids yet. None of them are married. None of them have got kids.
Okay.
So I'm all right for now. But everyone in France that we know, literally everyone, with the aside from Adam and Henry,
uh-huh.
Who you know,
yeah.
and another couple who are like 25, 26,
yeah.
or 26, 27 or whatever, they don't have kids. They're the only two couples that we know in Paris who are good friends of ours who don't have kids.
Oh.
So
join us, Paul.
All the comedians who I'm good friends with have all got kids,
yeah.
apart from Louis. And all of Addy's close friends have all got kids. So we're done. It's going to have to happen because otherwise we'll just end up being although having said that, the job that I'm doing has kind of already made us a bit socially I don't want to go out as much anymore.
Yeah. Why?
Because I don't want to get recognized.
People are like, oh my god are you Paul Taylor? It's yeah. not American people though, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. It's French people.
It's always French people who recognize you.
Mostly, I'd say 95%. Yeah. Sometimes it's non-French people. In Paris, it's non-French people as well.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm abroad, yeah, it's always French people. Although okay. there's been a couple of times where it's just, you know, like in a Notting Hill bookshop.
Yeah.
It was in the souvenir shop that they made for the film. There was some American. He was like, oh, are you Paul Taylor? I'm like, yeah.
How do you... Yeah. Who do you have you goes, been listening to Luke's English podcast?
And she goes... No, what she'd done is she'd seen one of my videos like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, she saw me at the park in Paris.
Ah.
And then she came and saw my show.
She's following you.
Yeah. She came and saw my stand-up show. And then she just happened to be in London. And she lives in Paris. She's American. She lives in Paris. So that's why she knew me.
Okay.
But yeah, we've turned into social. Well, not social. I still go out to house parties, but I'm going to put the kibosh on that. I'm just going to be like,
excuse me.
I don't know. I don't even. That's the thing. I've heard that word before.
That's good to put the kibosh on something.
Yeah,
I'm sure that comes from another language.
It must do.
And we're going to get someone from Lapland is going to write in and go put the kibosh. This
is my language. This is the language of my people.
I don't know what yeah. accent that is.
Put the kibosh on something just means to stop doing something. Like if your child is playing video games.
Violent
video games until 4 in the morning and you say, right, I'm going to put the kibosh on this, which means I'm going to stop it.
For example, it's time for your child. Come on, you've got to get up and go to the mathematics school, and then you've got to go to
the mathematics school.
Yes.
There's just one school for math.
That's right. The top mathematics school in town. The only one. The mathematics
school. The only school that agrees that 1 + 1 = 3.
And then you've got to go to your judo practice, and then it's advanced cello playing. Come on. And it turns out they've been up until 4 a.m. playing violent video games. And the punchline is, Paul, the child is 5 years old. Oh, how to structure a joke.
Yeah. To put an end to...
To put the kibosh on something.
Kibosh.
And you're like, we've got to put the kibosh on those computer games.
There you go. The origin is of mid-19th century of unknown origin. Thanks, Google.
Well, the origin is of unknown origin. Wonderful. Yeah.
In British English slang, the phrase to put the kibosh on of unknown origin, despite intense speculation. The earliest citation is in Dickens. Looks Yiddish, but its original appearance in a piece set in heavily Irish, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? No one cares. Anyway.
Charles Dickens apparently used it, and Paul just threw his phone on the floor. Paul just threw his phone onto the floor. So he threw it, to be honest, he threw it onto the sofa casually.
And it just fell on the floor.
It bounced right off and just jumped straight onto the floor. And it's an iPhone 7, right?
Correct.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon it's broken?
Nah, it's fine.
He's just left it on the floor as well.
A new one's going to come out in 3 days.
So you've got an Apple Watch, that'll do.
Yeah.
You're just loaded up with the Apple products.
Yeah, mate.
So just to kind of, let's say, put the kibosh on this child discussion that we're having.
Yeah.
I think, right, so I understand everything you're saying. You know, I've been through all that stuff as well in my head and all that sort of thing. I kind of think, on balance, like, first of all, I'm happy to be having...
you've had a good run, though, you as well. You're four.
I've had a good innings.
You've had a good innings. Well, no, good innings when you're dying. You've had a good first innings.
Yeah.
Which is the before child innings. So
right.
Before, like most people, you know, it's sort of early 30s.
Oh, I'm beyond the age that I should have had kids because I'm 40.
Yeah.
Now, I was 40 this year.
Yeah. So that's right.
I've probably should have had kids a little earlier than this, because being 40, when let's say when my kid is 12 and wants to play football, I'm going to be 52.
Mm.
So I don't know if I'm going to be what are my knees going to be like at that age?
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to be like playing on the ground with my child with like 47-year-old knees. What you gain in one area, you lose in another area.
Yeah,
what you lose in one area, you gain in another area. What I'll have is
swings
and roundabouts, isn't it, at the end of the day. Like, what I will get from being an older dad is that I'm sure I might not be in my physical prime, but I'll have so much wisdom, Paul, that I can contribute to the upbringing of my child. And the other thing is that...
sort of Star Wars thing. You're already imparting the force.
Exactly, yeah. I'll be basically... what's the expression? I'll be tutoring my child in the ways of righteousness.
You're going to call her Ray?
Ray, I don't know. We haven't decided a name, but I don't think I'll be... No, it would be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Because I'm Luke.
Yeah.
So we don't know at this stage if the character of Rey is...
Shit, that's coming out in a couple of months.
We don't know if she's Luke's daughter. That's coming out in December.
Yeah, we need to do that. Have you already planned it?
What? To go and see the new Star Wars film?
Yeah. You know, last time, the last one came out, me, you and Rob.
We went to see it. Yes. And then podcasted about it the very same day. That's right. I'd love to do that. I don't know, because, you know, something else quite important is happening in December.
Of course.
Meaning the birth of my
child.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, I know. It's very significant.
It's going to be difficult to get away from that one, isn't it?
It's very significant, though, don't you think, that... like the force awakens. You know, I felt a great disturbance in the force.
Mate,
arriving in December.
If it comes at the same day that the release, then that's it. You are Luke Skywalker, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. I definitely want to go and see it, but it's going to be a bit risky because my wife will be ready to give birth at any moment. I'll be, you know, I've got to go and see it. I will want to go and see it.
Do you know what the release date is?
The movie's being released on the 16th of December.
And when's the baby being released?
It's just generally around that time. I'm not giving a specific date because I just don't want to. But so what might happen is that I'll be in the cinema watching it and I just hope that she doesn't go into labor at the same time, because I will rush out of the cinema in the middle of watching Star Wars. You can see where my priorities are.
Yeah, and you'll get to the hospital and she'll be like, oh, you went Russian to come and see me.
Oh, Russian joke is
back. I'll be like, now is not the time for the Russian joke.
Well, let's hope it comes before then.
Let's hope it comes after the film.
Okay.
Because if it comes before the film, I'm not going to be able to just leave.
For an hour or two.
I don't know. Can I?
Yeah.
Really? No. It's like, you know, in the glow of the new baby and we're both exhausted. We haven't been sleeping. Maybe. And I'll be like, look, I'm just going to leave you for 2 hours. She might be all right. I don't know. But anyway.
I'll go watch it for you.
Okay.
I'll live stream it on Facebook.
Report back. I think that Disney might have something to say about that.
I'll tag Disney. I'll tag it, the official Star Wars pages, just so that they know.
hashtag Luke Skywalker.
See how long it takes them to react.
Right. Yeah. But just to bring this child thing to a close, my thought is, we're going to lose all that freedom that you have when you're younger. But for me, it's about time, really. I'm ready.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready. You know, it's like Star Wars again. You know,
but most people don't, like, most people are like, I'm not ready, and then you're just never ready.
Yeah, never ready. No,
it's never a good time.
Never.
There's never, you know, like with Addie now, we've been saying, oh well, you know, now's not the right time because she's just quit a job to be my manager and do all that kind of stuff. So we need to see how that goes, because if it doesn't go well, you know, if we have a baby, there's no point in having a baby now, because then it's like oh great, you quit your job to be my manager for 2 months and then now you're off again because you're having a baby, and obviously because she doesn't have a job now, we'd be at home looking up, and then it would break a rhythm that hasn't even started yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why we're like, oh, we'll wait a little while.
You can never be completely ready, but you can be a bit ready.
Yeah.
You know, you could be, I mean,
circumstances can be right. And right now for us, it's not necessarily right, just because we're waiting to see how it all goes, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it's going to take her at least a year to kind of establish herself in the business and to make the contacts.
Your wife has become your manager.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know if, I don't know if last time I was on the podcast, I was already married yet.
You'd just been married, I think.
Okay.
We talked a bit about your wedding day.
Got married. Right. So yeah, she quit her job and now there's no real official title that she has, but we're working together and she's on her email signature, which is as good as anything.
Yeah.
She's my manager and artistic collaborator.
Okay.
Look at that. How pretentious are we?
What's your title?
The dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Just some bloke.
I'm just Paul Taylor.
Okay.
As everyone calls me. Addy finds it really weird now that people call me Paul Taylor.
Yeah.
Because it's always just been Paul. And in the last year, everyone's just like, you Paul Taylor? It's like, well, yeah, I'm just Paul as well. But yeah, if you want to tell me my full. Yeah, because no one ever goes up to somebody and goes, oh, are you Luke Thompson? I guess they do. But no one really calls each other by their first and last names ever.
No, not
or
really.
Refers to people. You know, normally if I'm speaking to Amber about you, I'll just be like, oh yeah, Luke, blah blah blah, and we'll talk, you know, we'll be mentioning you or Rob or any of our friends, like, you know, you mention them just by first name, but people mention me by full name, you know,
because when someone uses your full name when they refer to you, it basically means that you've become you've become this established person, like all the movie stars. You know, you talk about Clint Eastwood, Johnny Depp.
You know, like, just go, oh, Johnny, what's
like
Johnny doing?
Jennifer Lawrence. You know, these people, because they become these established sort of people in the public sphere. Mm. But I quite like talking about people with their full name. Like, I do quite like doing that, like talking about Robert Hayne rather than just Rob.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Just enjoy doing that. So Amber's not here because she's bringing her, taking her child to school. It's day one of the school term today. But I thought that I should do the jingle anyway.
Okay.
This is 35 minutes into the episode.
You're going to do the jingle.
I thought I'd do the jingle, but I thought I'd do the jingle without the bits that refer to Amber.
Okay.
So hold on a second.
Oh.
So I just paused the podcast there for a second, but we're back in. So I'm trying to find the original jingle. These are Apple jingles, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah, it came with a computer that I bought from Apple in 2007. I don't know if these are...
2007?
Yeah.
No, you got that...
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Not this one. A computer I bought in 2007. Not
because you transferred all the information.
And I transferred all the jingles across, didn't I, right? So I'm trying to... Listeners, I'm trying to find the original Amber and Paul jingle here, and I keep coming across.
You come across the rap, but
Paul, I want you to do a rap over this, okay? Okay, here we go. Paul's going to do like a impromptu, improvised rap.
Okay? I wish I'm so envious of people who can
stop.
Do this.
All right. I'm going to express that thought over the top of this rap. Here we go. Yo, Paul Taylor.
Yeah, we are here for Luke's podcast. It's in English. We didn't have anything to eat today. We only had fish because it rhymes with English. I wish I was good with these kind of raps, but I can't do them because under raps.
You're a total spastic. You can't even fucking rhyme words together. You got a brother. He's younger than you. He's a professional footballer.
Yeah, he plays for Bournemouth AFC. AFC means something I don't know and I can't see.
Yo. None of our rhymes rhymed.
That didn't work. I don't know how people do it. Oh, it's one of those things, like, there's a lot of things in life I understand how people do it. And I'm like, all right, cool. I could do that. I've got no idea how you think of a word that's going to rhyme with the end of the sentence you haven't even said yet for the next sentence.
They're amazing, aren't they, these rappers?
Oh,
I have
man.
To say, absolutely.
There's
wicked.
Obviously got
to
be techniques. I'm sitting here playing a game of Scrabble, and I don't even know what else rhymes with apple.
I'm here, sitting here playing a game of Scrabble, and I just ate an apple.
No.
Doesn't work?
No.
Apple, Scrabble?
No, it's
almost.
Too short. The next phrase is too short.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can do another one. Let's just react to this all stuff. Right. Okay, here we go. I like this one a lot. I like this one.
Oh, this is cool. Sounds like a Jerry Cypher. How do you rap to that?
You don't rap. You can just do like a voiceover on the top of it.
Okay.
Okay. You can, ready to start again?
Yeah.
I've no idea what you're going to do here. Neither do you. But we need to give you a topic to talk about.
All right.
I think we should. Let's say you need to talk about making a cup of tea. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Paul doing the special showbiz version of making a cup of tea. Here we go.
Welcome to Luke's English Podcast. In order to make a cup of tea, you just boil the water for a little while, you put the tea bag in, make sure it's a good tea bag, and then just make sure that it's nice and distilled. Distilling isn't the word, but brewing is the word.
Infused.
Infuse that motherfucker right into the cup, and choose your milk afterwards. Is it semi-skimmed, is it skimmed, or is it non-fat? You make the choice, it's up to you. But there's no wrong answer when it comes to making a tea.
You got to keep going, Paul, because what about biscuits?
Depends on the biscuits you like. You can either dunk it or dip it or dunk dip it, which means there isn't some...
the music's still going. Carry on.
The chocolate digestives are the best because the chocolate just melts off them. Jesus, that's terrible.
The music
awful.
Just faded out. But no,
it's
I quite,
awful.
I
no, it's terrible.
That. I quite enjoyed that. I'm still trying to find.
It's not funny.
I'm trying to find the one
Come
with
on,
you,
Amber and Paul.
Here we go.
And
here we go. Here we go. It's not that either.
No.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to pause it. Hold on. All right. I've found it. It's this one, isn't it, ladies and gents? Oh wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa! I pressed the wrong button. I lost it. It's this one here. No, it's not. Hold on a second. Here we go. This one is. It's this one. Yeah. Recognize it? Do you recognize that track, Paul? Why do we keep speaking in that way?
I don't know, because it's fun.
That's a kind of British hip-hop, right?
Yeah.
It seems that a lot of the hip-hop comes out of like the sort of London.
Mm.
And some of the people in London, right? Like in London these days, it's not just Cockney All right, geezer, let's have a cup of tea. Apples and pears. It's not just that anymore.
There's your arm movement.
I have to do the arm movements when I do that voice.
Oi, oi, you fucking...
All right, mate, you fucking idiot. It's your fucking birthday, isn't it?
Your birthday.
Your birthday. Yeah,
your birthday.
It's your birthday. It's not just that anymore. There's other accents as well. And also, right, there's this one, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Which is like the new sort of youth way to speak.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like that proper, isn't it? So go on, do this fucking jingle, mate.
Okay.
It's Dave, innit, from Pôle Emploi.
It is Dave. What, Dave? It's Dave from Pôle Emploi. Would his name be Dave? I don't know. Anyway.
Nah.
All right, so I'm going to do it over this. But the tricky thing with the Amber and Paul jingle is that the speaking and the music happen right at the same time. So it's really hard. It's really, really hard to do it.
Can we have the original one, like the actual...
Jingle as a
comparison.
All right, I'll do yours first.
All right.
I'm just going to be the Amber and Paul jingle without any references to Amber.
Okay.
Okay.
It's going to be a complicated one.
Okay, here we go. No, I've got it wrong. It's really hard, I told you, because it starts right away. Ready? Ready? Paul is on the podcast. Paul is on the podcast. Paul is on the podcast. Paul is another brother. Oh, fuck.
I see what you mean.
I'm start again. I'm going to do it again. Ready? Get ready. Paul is on another. Okay. Paul is on the podcast. Paul is on the podcast. Paul is on the podcast. Paul is on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. So that's the jingle with all the Amber references taken out of it. Do you want to hear the original then?
Yeah, I remember it now.
You remember it now. Yeah. So you do need to hear the original. Right. You don't need to hear it anymore. Okay, right. No need for that.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Okay. So what?
I'm glad I came back.
Yeah, really? Glad you came back on the podcast. Right, so we had a cup of tea, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And we were talking about sort of Cockney accent. All right, mate. All right, a cup of tea. Do you know that song called Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins?
Vaguely. I know the title, but I probably know the song, but I don't remember how it goes.
There is a band called Right Said Fred. They did I'm Too Sexy for This Shirt.
Yeah.
But it's not I'm Too Sexy for This Shirt. Not them. This is something from the 60s.
Okay, no.
Right, it's an old song from the 60s. Bernard Cribbins was like a comedian actor guy.
Okay.
And he did some little comedy songs and stuff in the 60s.
No.
And this one was by him. And it's called Right Said Fred. And it's like, imagine like three guys, you know, if you need, for example, to get your piano moved, if you need to move stuff out of your house, you're going to call like a removal company. It's like Dave, Fred and Steve come round. All right, then let's move this piano. How are we going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a couple of guys like that. Yeah. And they spend most of the time drinking tea.
Yeah.
You know, like they're drinking tea, talking about the piano rather than actually moving it.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, said Fred, better get a move on. This piano's not going to move itself.
Right.
You know, tried to lift it, couldn't even shift it. We was getting nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea and then we went home. Right.
Is that the actual lyrics of the song?
That's something like that, yeah. And I always think of that whenever you come around and we go, all right, mate, how's it going?
Yeah,
do you want
a
cup of tea?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, it reminds me when you come around and we try and do a podcast, but we actually just talk about doing a podcast.
Exactly.
And in the end, it's just an episode where we're talking bollocks.
Right, said Paul, better get a move on. This podcast is not going to record itself, is it? Tried to record it, couldn't even get started. We was getting nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea and then we went home. Right? Okay, here's the original.
Yes.
Right, said Fred, both of us together, one each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right, said Fred, give a shout for Charlie, up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, even and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and it, so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles and the things what held the candles. But it did no good, well, I never thought it would. All right, said Fred, have to take the feed off to get them feed off, wouldn't take a mo. Took its feet off, even took the seat off. Should have got us somewhere, but no.
Do you understand what's going on?
So we had a cup of tea and fucked our phone.
I don't think you would have used the F word.
What's going on? They're trying to get a piano down, and they've got different techniques.
And they're like taking
all take the handles off, take the feet off, trying to take the chair off.
Right, exactly. But
and then they're just getting nowhere.
It's getting nowhere. So they just sit down and have another cup of tea. Okay, all right, good. Just checking. Let's carry on.
So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea. And we said, righto.
Righto.
All right, said Fred, have to take the door off, need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea, and right, said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere. And so we
had another cup of tea.
And Charlie had a think, and he said, look, Fred, I got a sort of feeling. If we remove the ceiling with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow.
So you still understand what's going on? Yeah. Well, I'm asking you, but really I'm asking the audience.
Yeah, okay.
So what's happening now?
Yeah, they're trying different techniques and it's getting a bit intense. They've broken down a wall, still not happening. They've tried to take off the ceiling, or they're about to take off the ceiling with a couple of ropes.
He's gone up with a ladder, and he's gone up on a ladder. He's got a crowbar in his hand, like one of those big metal...
Can't wait to hear the end of the story. It's intriguing.
They took the door off, removed the hinges, and took the door off. And he's now gone up the ladder with a crowbar in his hand to take out the ceiling with ropes. They're going to try and lift the piano out of the room that way.
Is it a piano? It's not clear that it's a piano.
No, it's not clear. It's actually, they never say what it is, but I always imagine it's a piano for some reason. Anyway, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next?
The ceiling with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble? Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome.
Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So, like, the ceiling caved in and landed on his head.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Health and safety nightmare, isn't it?
So Charlie and me had another cup of tea and then we went home.
Imagine the French person. This song wouldn't happen in France. Health and safety. It's health and safety. It's like, no, sorry, it's too fuck it.
No, c'est pas possible.
Non, c'est pas possible. They just went home straight away.
They took one look at it and go, sorry, we can't do it. No, no, c'est pas possible.
Oh, there's so many jokes.
And the person, Bernard...
French people are like, when people ask me, oh, what's the biggest thing that you saw the difference in France? I'm like, in France, they start with a no and maybe end with a yes. Yeah. We always start with a yes and maybe end with a no.
Exactly.
There's got to be a bunch of jokes there. I don't know what they are. I know Alex Van Walsum had a good joke about, you know, non, c'est pas possible, and you just keep going, c'est pas possible, c'est pas possible, and he's like, oh, well, because it's you know, exceptionally, we'll do this. Very funny joke.
Yeah.
There's got to be some other ones I can make, because it's just that whole concept of, like, straight away French start off with no, I can't do it. What do you mean no?
Right.
What are you talking about? No.
So here in this situation that with the song, this is the British version, certainly from the 1960s. These days they'd be Polish or something probably, which is fine. But the
thing, have
is,
another shot of vodka.
Bit of a stereotype there, Paul.
Oh, come on. Polish people drink loads of vodka.
Yeah. With very nice juices.
Yeah, it's like saying, oh, English people drink beer. Yeah, we do
as it happens, yeah.
Yeah. French people are like, oh, you guys drink a lot of beer. Yeah, and? What's your point?
But this British...
country still turns, doesn't it? This country's still more productive than yours.
Can we do the two versions, Paul? Can we do the British version and then do the French version? In the British version, right, you've got a piano.
All right, we'll start from the beginning.
What?
So each verse we've got to do...
Wait, we haven't finished the song yet.
Oh, okay.
We should finish the song.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and do the English version and the French version. Okay? All right, here we go. So they've had a cup of tea, another cup of tea, and just had a little think about it, had a look at the situation.
Oh, he's done. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea and then we went home.
Just go home.
I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now, you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
It's too hasty, isn't it?
It's too hasty.
Hasty.
Yeah, and first of all, I thought you said too pasty, and then I thought you said too wasted. And then like too wasted.
He's just too drunk, isn't he?
He's too wasted. It was like, on tea? That's interesting.
So what happened at the end of the story?
They couldn't be asked.
They left it. They
on
left
the
it
landing.
On the landing. Yeah. What's the landing? Ooh.
It's a weird English word that I'd forgotten for a long time. It's the place outside your apartment, basically.
I think it's like, on the ground floor level, you've got the hall.
Yeah. Right? And every other floor, you've got a landing.
And on upstairs, you've got the landing.
Because if you fell out of the staircase, you would land
on the
on
landing.
The next floor, on the landing.
That's why it's called the landing.
Next floor, that's why it's called the landing.
When you fall
what's
down
it called in French? I can't remember now. It's called the palier. It's called palier. I don't know why.
Okay. So they left it on the landing. And he's going, you know, the thing about Fred is he's too hasty, isn't he? He's too hasty. Hasty means like in a bit of a rush.
Yeah.
You do things too quickly.
It doesn't sound it. It sounds like he's having lots of cups of teas.
Yeah, but like the whole decision right, to so move Fred, it in the first place. It's a joke, isn't it? They took them 3 days. It's like, oh, he's too hasty.
Yeah.
With Fred is he's too hasty. Now you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
You
that's
never
a,
get
that's
nowhere.
That's incorrect English, isn't it? You never get nowhere.
Double negative.
Yeah, mate.
Fantastic song.
Okay.
So let's do the English version. First of all, you.
Well, we've done the English version.
No, no, we're going to do it again. We're going to do a role play, Paul.
Okay, let's do a role play, Luke.
So you're, you're the owner of the piano. Okay.
Right, so my name's Right Said Pierre.
Whatever. No, you're Paul.
Because Fred owns the piano, right?
No.
Yeah.
Fred's been employed to move it, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You own a piano. You've called me to come round because you need someone to move it. Yeah. That's it. All
right? Right.
So, knock, knock, knock.
I don't understand what we're doing.
So, you own a piano.
I own a piano, yeah.
All right? You've all right. called me to
I've
come
called
round
you. All right, knock,
to
knock.
Move it.
Hello.
Hello. So, I'm here about the piano.
Good.
Can I have a look at it?
Yeah. I don't understand what we're doing.
You're Paul.
Yeah. The piano's over in the corner. I'll go have a look at it.
Okay. All right. Ooh. Ooh, it's a bit of a big piano, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. No problem. We can get this done. Let's have a look here. Yeah, no problem. We'll get that done for you, mate. We'll probably have to... It's a bit big, isn't it? We'll just remove some of the bits and pieces and we'll fit it out the door.
Okay.
Have you tried it? Have you tried moving it out the door yet?
No, not yet.
Right, because it's not going to fit, is it? How did you get it in here in the first place? Was it here when you moved
yeah.
in?
Yeah.
It was here already?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No problem. I think, yeah, I'll tell you what we can do. We could try moving it out the window.
Okay.
Right, we'll get... I know a bloke who's got like a big truck with a big, you know, one of those big arms.
Mm-hmm.
He can move it out the window for you.
Great.
If that don't work, no problem. We could take... Is that ceiling removable?
I think so.
We could just remove the whole top of your house.
All right.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll knock the wall through, right? We can move it out there. Knock the other wall through as well.
Yeah.
We can paint it all back up afterwards. Don't worry, mate. Knock the wall through. Knock your neighbour's wall through. And there is another house, but we can knock that house through as well. We'll get the piano out. No problem. Do you want a quote?
I'd love a quote, yeah.
It's going to cost you $2,000.
All right.
All right?
Just buy a new one then.
Great. So I'll see you let me have a look in my diary. 3 months is the best I can do.
All right. That's all right.
So I'll see you in 3 months' time.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, great. You're a nice customer, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, thanks.
I wish everyone was like you, mate. I'll tell you what. All right. So I'll be in touch in 3 months, all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye.
Good.
Okay. You get what's going on now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to do the same thing, but you're a
I'll
French
be the friend, yeah.
removal man?
Yeah, you're moving because obviously...
No, you're...
Yeah, because you're having it's your piano now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're having a baby, so you've got to move houses. So now you've got to have a bigger place and you've hired me to come and get your piano.
Yeah.
And move it.
And I'm afraid I don't speak French.
Okay.
Right, so you're knocking on my door. Oh, that must be the French removal man.
Allô?
Yes, it is, definitely. Okay. Hello, are you the... Sorry, I don't speak French.
Oh, no problem. I speak the English. Hello, I'm the guy for the piano.
Excellent.
Where is the piano?
It's just over here. It's just let me open it. There it is. It's in. Thanks for speaking English to me, by the way.
No problem.
So there's the piano.
This is the piano?
Yeah.
But it's not possible. Goodbye.
Wait. Just
that's it. That's the French. That's it. There's no...
Wait! Come back!
Non, c'est pas possible. Just not possible.
No, but really, I mean, it's definitely possible, I think.
Not possible?
I've got money. I'll pay you for it.
I don't... it's not a question of money. It's a question of health and safety. My back, it cannot take this down the stairs. Sorry.
I'm sure that there's something we can do.
No.
I'll help you.
No,
I'm willing
to help you.
It's
not possible.
I've got some people. I've got Dave, no. Juan Pedro.
I don't work with foreigners. I am the FN. No, it's not possible.
Is there really nothing we can do?
No. Merci.
But the thing is that all we need to do is just move it out of the room, down onto the landing, and then I'll deal with it after
Computer
that.
Computer says no.
Computer says no.
Computer says no.
What happened to your French accent?
I don't know. It just made me think of that. She's typically the French.
Wait, no one knows what Computer
right,
Says
so,
No means.
So Computer Says No is a very funny sketch. A very funny phrase that came out of a sitcom, not even a sitcom, a sketch show in England called Little Britain.
Yeah.
And the idea is it is a guy who works in an office behind his computer, and every time somebody comes in, nothing's possible.
It's a woman, actually.
Yeah, but it's played by David Walliams.
Right.
Shall I
play it?
Yeah, play it.
Okay, so
as basically what it is, to set up a situation, somebody would come in and ask for something, and he would just slap on the keyboard, like pretending to look something up, and then just go, "Computer says no," as like it's not possible, and then the person would keep trying to be like, "But isn't it, surely there's a way of doing this?" Computer says no.
So I'd come to the office and say, "Hello, we'd like to make an application for the nursery, please."
Oh, let me just have a look. Computer says no.
But really, because we said on the website that we just come and make our application here. Is there anything available?
Computer says no.
All right, let's play the original one, shall we? Wait, where's the sound? What happened to the sound, bruv? Okay, hold on. I'll just go back. Here we go.
At my local bank, I'm permitted to take all the money out of the safe and roll around naked in it.
That's just the voiceover, the crazy voiceover. Here's the actual sketch.
Right, I've done that for you. I will just say, because of the funds in your account, you do actually qualify for the Advantage Executive Premier Gold account.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You get your own personal banker. That'd be me.
Right.
That's after you. That'd be you.
Yeah.
There's an overdraft limit of £10,000, and you get free travel insurance.
Oh, thank you. That sounds great. Do I need to fill in a form?
No, I'll change over your details right now. I won't take them out. Computer says no.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, computer says no, sorry. Isn't
the first travel agents in Britain poisoned
went to Lloyd's.
Travel agents now. That was a bank before, now it's a travel agent.
Oh, it's all different situations, I'd forgotten.
So, yeah.
And you've nothing at all going to Lloyd's.
Computer says no.
Oh, what a shame.
Says it's all pilgrimed out.
If you like, it's all pilgrimed out. Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Computer says it's all pilgrimed out.
Because he's like a priest. The guy's asking.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to some place that's like a pilgrimage site. Okay. Sorry, his computer says no, it's all pilgrimed out.
Computer says no.
Oh, what a shame.
Says it's all pilgrimed out. If you like religion, I can do you a fly drive to Mecca.
No, I think I leave it. Thank you.
Is that an Irish priest?
I think it's Irish or Welsh. And it's a woman sitting
Hello.
Down.
I've been sat down all day. Do you mind if I just stretch my leg?
No, of course.
So I've been sat down all day. Do you mind if I stretch my legs? And she's just standing up and she's doing loads of exercises now.
Okay.
So I think the idea is that this is a woman who works in an office that really doesn't care about any of the people coming
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Right.
I was watching this film last night, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, and I was really wanting to visit the island of Kefalonia where they filmed it.
Computer says no. If you're a film fan, I can take you where they film Midnight Express.
Midnight Express, do you know it? It's set, I'm pretty much sure it's in Turkey.
Oh, train. Oh.
It's Turkey, and it's all about a guy who ends up in a Turkish prison.
Oh, okay.
No, thank you.
I've got some rooms in the Towering Inferno.
Towering Inferno? Building on fire?
No.
I've got a lovely cruise on the ship where they film the Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure? About a boat that sinks.
Oh.
It's like Titanic before Titanic. Okay.
I don't think so.
No, it's not for everybody. It's upside down. I got a 2-for-1 deal on a canoeing trip where they filmed Deliverance.
No.
A canoeing trip where they filmed Deliverance.
Deliverance?
It's about a bunch of guys who go on a canoeing trip somewhere in the middle of the United States, and a bunch of hillbilly rednecks attack them.
Right.
And kill some of them and rape some of them.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's a really horrible film, you know, like... what does he say to one of them? You got a pretty mouth, boy. Yeah,
great.
That kind of thing. Ugh.
Thank you.
Says here the locals are very friendly.
Look, I really only do want to go to Kefalonia.
Oh, wasn't some of Captain Corelli filmed in Centre Park? I get you a very good deal there.
No, look, I'm just going to leave it.
Was none of it filmed on a Club 1830 holiday to Tenerife leaving Stansted on the 9th?
Sorry.
What's that?
She coughed into her hand and then blew it towards
her. Oh,
nice. Okay, so that's Computer Says No.
Computer Says No.
All right, so the French version basically is, no, it's not possible.
It's not
actually, possible. The other day, right? So yesterday, not just the other day, yesterday. What's that?
I thought it sounded like an espresso machine, but it was actually a scooter outside. You know, when you put a capsule into an espresso machine and it goes... I thought it was that. And then I took off my headphone and it turned out to be a scooter outside. Motorbike.
If only it had been an espresso machine. I'll make you a cup of tea in a minute if you want.
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah. Love right, a cup of tea.
Can I just tell you this little story?
Yeah. So
yesterday we went to a hardware shop to get a piece of wood.
Right.
Okay? Just a simple request. Piece of white board to replace one of the ones in the kitchen.
Right.
That keeps falling off.
Oh, yeah. You know, at the bottom there.
On the bottom, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Successful trip in the end.
Yeah.
To replace like a little bit of white board that goes under the dishwasher. Boring domestic stuff, but anyway, it had to be done.
Mate.
Yeah. And so we went down to the shop where they sell that kind of thing.
Leroy Merlin.
It wasn't Leroy Merlin.
Independent one.
It was BHV.
Oh, okay. Oh, the posh one.
Yeah.
You know, fuck around with the bottom of your dishwasher.
Yeah.
Give it the treatment.
Nothing but the best for the Thompson family. So I went down and, you know, first of all, so I found that piece there. It was like, oh my God, it's like the Holy Grail. After searching and searching and searching for the right thing, eventually found that it was exactly the right size as well. 60 centimetres by 15.
Right.
Oh, I was so pleased.
Yeah.
This is what makes me happy these days.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was
finding
like,
the right wood.
But it's not quite right because it's too thick. It's not quite the right thing, but it was almost right.
We're still talking about wood here.
We're still talking about wood. And what else? What did you think I was talking about?
The wood fabric. I don't know.
Just, yeah.
You know,
all right. Just playing around.
With wood. You know, wood, if you've got wood.
Thick.
Thick wood, wood.
Yeah, have you? Yeah, I've got wood now.
Yeah,
just
talking about.
Just talking about this. Does anyone know what that means?
No, let's not go into it. It just means having an erection. Play on words, people.
Okay,
let's go. So you've got this bit of wood.
Yeah, I've got wood. Yeah. Anyway.
So you found this bit of wood, which is 60 centimeters by 15.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't quite right. You know, we wanted a different material and whatever. So I said to my wife, look, you've got to go and speak to them to ask if they can cut a piece of wood to the right shape or if they've got something like this but thinner. I can't do it.
Oh, so you needed to cut a bit. Okay, it was too thick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted something like that but a little bit thinner. So I said to my wife, you've got to do the talking. So we queued up. We got queue jumped. queued, you know, as always, queued up, and then
can't wait till your French is good enough that you start giving shit to people who jump in queues.
I'm working my way up to it.
That's the way you need to start. That's the only French you need to start with. Just as long as you can.
How do I do it, Paul? What do I say? Someone's just jumped in front of me in the queue.
Yeah, it depends how sarcastic you want to be. If you want to be like proper English sarcastic, which you'd be like, oh, I don't know, what would you say? Just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'd say.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, just if somebody's queuing, pardon, en fait, il y a une queue par ici.
Which is, excuse me, there's a queue here?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And the person was like, what?
Yeah, you could be really sarcastic and be like, oh, excuse me, sorry, yeah, we were all just standing here, just waiting for you to, I don't know.
We're just standing here for no reason, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, the first person, when my French is good enough and I'm confident enough, the first person to queue jump me is going to get, like 6 years worth of frustration.
Yeah.
I'll probably totally overreact. Anyway, so got queue jumped, and then eventually we spoke to the guy, and this is how it went. So my wife said to him, "So we're looking for a piece exactly like this, but just a bit thinner. Can you do anything?" And they were like, "All three of them," because there was three of them. All three of them were like, "No, no, sorry, no, nothing." And my wife was like, because she knows how to deal with it, she just carried on. Just another piece about the same size, but a little bit thinner. And after they got to know her a little bit, all the other people standing in the queue behind us waiting.
Yeah.
After she persevered and smiled and charmed them a bit and got to know them, and I stood there and, you know, just, you know, we just didn't leave. Then one of them was like, all right, fuck it, I'll deal with this. And he was like, yeah, okay, let's go and have a look, madam. We might have something for you. This is after they'd all said no about three times.
Yeah, yeah.
They no, definitely not. Sorry, oh, good God. Day. And then it's like, but really, blah, blah, blah. And the same thing in a restaurant, like 2 days before, we went in, we're like, is the kitchen still open? And they were like, no, sorry, that we can't accept anyone. And my wife stood her ground and she was like, no, we just a table for two. We'll order really quickly. And I don't know. I don't think so. But I tell you what, let me ask the chef. And then, she came back and, you know, it was lots of like shaking of heads and breathing through teeth and stuff. And then I was like walking out the door going, well, thanks very much anyway. Bye. And my wife was like pulling me back in going, no, we've got that table over there. And then the next thing, you know, we're sitting down. I was like, I thought it was no. What?
It drives me nuts. It's why I fucking hate this place, because I have no patience for that kind of shit. I am so like... It drives me. What? And I've started to get really angry with people for for really no reason. I was prepared for it this morning. I went to the post office before I came here to pick up. I ordered a football shirt, my brother's football shirt, basically with his number on the back and Taylor written on it. Cool. I mean, he's number 58 this season, which, you know, because he's just started.
Wait a minute, this is new information.
Yeah, my little brother who plays football professionally is 18, so he's in between the youth team and the first team.
Yeah,
he's not in the youth team anymore. He either plays for the under 21 team, which is basically the second team at Bournemouth.
Bournemouth,
who French people can't pronounce. Every time my French people are like, oh, your brother, he plays football, where does he play? And I'm like, Bournemouth. And they go, oh, Portsmouth. Oh, yeah, I know Portsmouth very well. No, not Portsmouth, Bournemouth. Same thing with Canterbury. And they're like, oh, whereabouts are you in England? I'm like,
they wouldn't say whereabouts.
No, they just
say, exactly.
Yeah, I'm doing the French. They ask me in French, but I always say the thing in English.
Right.
So they're like, ah, tu viens d'où en Angleterre? Like, where do you come from in England? I'm like, oh, a small town in the southeast called Canterbury. And they go, ah, where they make the chocolate?
They're like, not Cadbury.
Not Cadbury, Canterbury. And then I have to go, Canterbury. And they go, ah oui, Canterbury, bien sûr.
And what's Bournemouth in French?
Portsmouth. Bournemouth. Bournemouth. It's like a mouse that has been born.
Or a moose that's been born.
Yeah.
Bournemouth.
So anyway, I ordered a t-shirt. It got sent by delivered, whatever, thingy post.
The post, no?
No, yeah, but what's it, if you're not at home, they don't just leave it there. Recommended.
Recorded delivery.
So I went to the post office, and on this little slip they gave me, it said, you can pick it up weekdays from 2 p.m. or Saturday from 10 a.m. It's like, why is it from 2 p.m? Because in my mind it was like, oh, they might be really busy in the morning, so it's only from 2 p.m. that you can come and collect the... So I was ready.
Yeah.
I was in that. I was in fuck off mode. Like, when I walked into the post office, I'm like, if he says something
about the fact that, oh, it's not 2 o'clock yet, because I was coming here for one.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be there at two, you know, and I had, but eventually he took the thing, he didn't say anything. But I get into this like state in my mind of like, I'm ready to argue. If something doesn't happen, if people go, meh, meh, you know, like the supermarket downstairs closes at 10. But at 9:45, they don't let anyone else in.
Yeah, so it's effectively closed at 9:45.
Yeah, and the poor security man, like, I went mental. Like, because we really needed something, and it was like, all right, cool. 15 minutes left, easy. I'll be in and out before half the people who are still in. Anyway, I go down, and the guy's like, non, désolé, non, désolé, désolé. And instead of, like, doing the French thing of being like, oh, but I'm only coming in, I just went mental straight away.
Yeah.
I just said, well, don't put fucking 10 p.m. on the door then. You know, I was just in one of those moods. It was like, put 9:45. If you're going to close at 9:45, put it at 9:45.
Do you know who I am?
Don't put 10 a.m. because I'll be in there and out before anyone else who's currently in there. There's an old woman in there. It's going to take a half an hour to get out. I'll be in and out before. Blah, blah, blah. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it drives me nuts too. Oh. It drives me nuts as well, but just, I don't know if it's just the way I am, I suppose we're the way you are too, but we don't want to have confrontations.
No.
I'm not a confrontational
person. Just do it if it's possible.
I'm not a confrontational person. I can't handle it. I don't want to be having to have a confrontation just to post a letter, you know? Anyway, let's not get bogged down.
No, I think we need a cup of tea to calm down.
I think we need a cup of tea. Right, said Fred. Better get a move.
We had a cup of tea and we all went, oh, hey.
Hey, all right then, let's have a cup of tea, shall we? Is there anything left I wanted to just deal with? I don't think so. I think that's probably the end of this particular episode, Paul.
This double podcast.
This is going to conclude with a cup of tea. We'll end as we started.
I miss the Lepsters.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Anything to say to the people of the world? Obviously, you've got your own platform now with your TV
world.
Yeah,
I mean,
stuff,
you know,
audience, do you want to say something?
Yeah,
to the
you know, thank you for listening to me and leaving all your lovely comments on Luke's page over the last couple of years since I've started on the podcast, because it's always, you know, it's always fun when you're a comedian and people are like, oh, it's funny, you're very funny, blah blah blah, and you know, when you try and make a career out of it. So yeah, it's, you know, my success is also down to, you know, all your listeners, all the listeners on Luke's English podcast, and things are going well, and you can expect new videos in the very near future on YouTube and all that kind of stuff that I'll be doing. So yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for appreciating the listenings of the Luke's English podcast.
Yeah. Thanks very much for being on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's have a cup of tea. And then are you all right to carry on and do a little bit more?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, what time is it?
It's 4:30. We don't have to, but it depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, I might have a couple of emails to reply to and stuff.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll have a cup of tea, and then we'll see.
All right. Bye. Okay,
ladies and gents, that is nearly the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and that you managed not to laugh out loud on the bus and make a fool of yourself. Actually, to be honest, I hope that you did laugh out loud, even if it did draw attention to you. I hope that you laughed out loud and you thoroughly enjoyed doing it. Even if you are on your own, I hope that you had a good old laugh during this episode. Especially if you were in the company of other people and you were just laughing and they didn't understand why, and, you know, they were like, why, what is this joy that you're expressing? And you're like, just listen to Luke's English podcast and you'll understand. I hope that's what's happened. Anyway, don't forget that you can see a list of vocabulary and expressions from this episode all on the website, including the lyrics to that funny song that you heard. Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins. There's also a YouTube video of that song, including like an old black and white animation. So you can check that out if you want to hear it again and to make sure that you've understood all of it. So check out those things. By the way, the mobile version of my site has now been improved thanks to a helpful listener, a Russian listener called Sergey, who gave me some CSS coding advice. So if you check out the site on your phone now, it should look much better than it did before, which will make it easier for you to check vocabulary lists, transcriptions, and other content from your mobile device. You could try it now. Try it right now. Just get your phone out, teacherluke.co.uk. Just make sure you're spelling that correctly. Teacher Luke, not Teacher Luck. All right? TEACHERLUKE.co.uk. Check it out right now. You'll find the link for this episode and all the other episodes in the episode archive. Just click on the menu button and then click episode archive, which should be at the top of the list. Don't forget to join the mailing list on the website as well, so that you can get a link to each new episode in your inbox when it's published. As I said, it's nearly the end of the episode, but it's not actually the end yet. There is more. In fact, I've decided to give you a bonus bit here at the end because I'm nice. So, what is the bonus bit? Well, on the day that Paul and I recorded this episode, and in fact the next one as well, we also recorded ourselves improvising a short comedy sketch, and I'm now going to play you that sketch. The whole thing was completely improvised and completely unplanned. It's full of really rude language, and it's all just a bit of a laugh. So here is the Expat Sketch Show with Paul. Have fun. You got an idea for like a sketch show?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, it's just it basically be a bunch of expats in Paris.
Yeah.
Different from different countries, mm-hmm. And I would play all of them.
Oh, all right.
Kind of like Catherine Tate or Little Britain. Well, Little Britain was similar, where they had both of them playing, but more Catherine Tate, I think.
Because Catherine Tate was like this comedian who played all the different parts,
yeah, exactly,
in her own TV,
yeah,
show.
Yeah, and I can just imagine me doing different things. Like I could be the American guy,
uh-huh,
who's just like, oh, I'm loving my time in Paris. Like, I'm so living a Parisian dream. And then I switch to like some English guy, some, I don't know. I'm just here for the fucking pussy, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Do you want to try it? So, like in some situation, like you know, like you're applying for a court. You're at the Pôle Emploi,
yeah,
which is like the employment office.
The employment office.
And I'm the person who works in the office. I'm the English guy who works in the office. I've been here for 20 years.
Okay, so you're dealing with English speaking people.
That's right.
All right.
And basically, there's a the way it works is that we've got like a certain amount of tax revenue that we can spend on sort of introducing expats into France.
Okay. So
it's a new system. It's a new program.
This is a real system.
Yeah, it could be a real system. So it's a real system. You've read the leaflet.
Yeah.
So you understand the way the system works. Basically, we've got a certain number of positions where certain expats can receive.
Yeah. Basically, I don't care about your system. Yeah. Like basically, I've come over here. Yeah.
Yeah.
To like fucking Paris, yeah, because it's like the best place. I've been told, yeah, it's like the best place, yeah, and I'm looking to like make a difference, make my own dent in the universe, you know, in like Paris. Yeah, do you know, like I came here like to follow the punani, do you know what I mean, blood? Like, you know, proper French women, they're like, you know, I got a couple of mates that live in France, yeah, like one's a podcast guy, one's a comedian, and they're both boning French girls, you know what I mean? They're both like married to French girls, one's gonna have a baby, man, it's like proper. So I want to get in with that shit, do you know what I mean?
So what shall I write here in the form? I want to get in on that
you're
shit?
You just like, I want to get in on that shit. I don't know the French version of that, but like something like that, yeah, do you know what I mean?
Do you speak any French?
Yeah, bonjour and that, do you know what I mean? Like I said bonjour and people like bonjour, so like it's like fluent, because being fluent, yeah, just means that you can like communicate in the other language without like problems, innit? So like being fluent, I say bonjour, they say bonjour back, we're communicating without any fucking problems, do you know what I mean?
Okay, it's certainly a good start.
So like that's fluent, innit? Like I don't know what your level system is here, but like bonjour, that's it.
Well,
merci, that's all you need, innit?
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Bonjour, merci, fuck off.
It's certainly a starting point.
Yeah, mate.
So let's see. What could you bring to the cultural community here in France, do you think?
Cultural community.
What could you contribute to France? I mean, there's a limited number of places. Why should we give our place to you?
Well, you give me my place, yeah, because like there's limited places. But who are these other people who are like applying? Yeah, look at me, I want to come here to France. Nah, I'm the deal, man. Like, come over here, follow my dream. Yeah, I want to get in there on that shit as you wrote down on your little form.
Okay,
and I'm gonna bring like my English flair. You know, like I'm gonna introduce France to like the England that they're not used to, because they're used to all this like Queen shit. Hello, how are you? Fuck that. That ain't the real England, man. That's where like 1% of the population, I read this thing, like 1%ers, yeah, they're like the richest people. Fuck
fuck that. I'm part of the 99%. I'm here to show France the other 99% of England that they're missing out on.
Okay, that's certainly great. Now, let's see. What did you do back in England?
Fuck all, mate.
Really? We've got, that's fine. We've got plenty of people doing fuck all here as well. So I'm sure we could accommodate you.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, whatever, like, just here to chill out, innit? Just okay. Enjoy.
That, sorry, what was your name again?
My name was Dave.
All right. Okay, thanks, Dave. That's all we've got time for, I'm afraid.
All right, mate.
Next, please. So they wonder who's going to be next, for goodness sake. Oh, what a day I'm having.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well. Thanks for asking. Yes, would you like to take a seat?
Yes, thank you. My name is Juan Pedro. I am from Spain. I am here in Paris to help get a job. And I have been told by my flatmate, who is called Dave. He is an Englishman, very funny.
Dave? Oh.
Yes, you may have met him.
Was he here today?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I've met
him. He wants to apply. We want to apply for this new system in France where you have grants for people who come. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
explain
the one.
Me what happened.
It's the expat program.
Ah, okay.
It seems that you understand it, that basically expats can apply for a special government grant. The government has decided that it wants to support the expat community. It's somehow good for France. We don't know how, but apparently it's good for France. And so, yeah, exactly. With a certain number of places, if you are successful in your application, then...
How much money I get? I want to know. I come from Spain. We have shit economy. I come to France because France, Germany, the two countries in EU, better. England is good, but it's not in EU anymore.
Where are you from?
From Madrid.
Are you sure?
Yes.
sorry, that was very inappropriate of me to ask that question, wasn't it?
My phone is ringing. Okay. Hola María, ¿qué haces? No hombre, estoy aquí en Pola-Omploa con el cállate, hasta luego. Yes, sorry. I have my mum, María.
We do have signs up saying please put your phones on silent. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, we have no signs in Spain.
No?
We are allowed to do anything.
Okay, well there's a lot of rules here in France. You may have to get used to that. So yes, okay, so you understand the program, right?
Yes.
Dave told you about it?
Yes.
And you understand it completely?
David, very nice guy.
Okay. How do you know Dave?
We are flatmates together. We look up a Craigslist.
Sorry?
We have a... When I came here, they told me, yes, you must to find flat Craigslist.
Craigslist?
Craigslist, yes. Yeah. I find my flat Craigslist, and in the flat, different people. Dave, he's the funniest Englishman I've ever met. He's unbelievable.
Okay, would you recommend Dave then for the program?
Yes, because he told me he wants to get in on that shit, and that is the best way in order to learn the French.
Okay, he wants to get in on that. Sorry, I have to correct your English there. It's shit. It's not sit. Yes. Not your English. Your English is basically all right.
I have said this shit.
Okay.
On the shit.
All right. It's not an English lesson. It's So what could you contribute then? Sorry, what was your name again?
Juan Pedro.
Juan Pedro.
Yes.
What could you contribute to the community here then, do you think, Juan Pedro?
I spend some weeks here in Paris. People are stressed. People are stressed. Why do you laugh?
Because it's true, you know. It's funny because it's true. People are stressed, aren't they?
People are very stressed here in France. I want to bring the more Latin chill out, you know. No pasa nada. You know, this kind of life of no pasa nada. No te preocupes. No pasa nada. Everything is okay. Chill out, French person. It doesn't matter if you don't get the metro now because too many people. You get it after the next train. No worries. You're late for work.
Okay. What?
C'est la vie.
Right, good.
So the French people.
You're picking up the language.
Yes.
What work do you do in Spain? Or London, because you live in London at the moment, right?
No,
You live in Spain?
I come from Spain. No work. And that's why I'm in here in France, is to work, because there is no jobs anymore in Spain.
Okay. All right. I'm still not entirely clear about how, the living arrangement you have with Dave, because Dave's from London. So are you living? Are you in London at the moment? Or
No, we are both living in France.
Ah.
Because we are here at Pôle emploi.
Right.
To get the job. He is from London. I am from Spain, from Madrid. We have the co-sharing of the flat here in Paris.
Which part of Paris are you in?
We live in the 20th.
The 20th, okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
We started together in the Marais, and in the Marais was a bit too gay for us, and so we moved to the 20th.
Okay. I'm going to have to write that one down, I'm afraid. Slight homo... what's the word for it? Slight prejudice against the homosexual community. That might not work in your favour. But anyway, so what work do you think you could do here? Because obviously your contribution will be very important.
Yes.
What's your background?
Is a bookshelf.
Not the things that are behind you. Have you seen Luke Thompson's stand-up show? Anyway... no, I mean, like, your working background. Did you go to university, Juan Pedro?
No.
Okay, all right. So, basically, your contribution...
No, I went to the University of Life.
Right, one of those.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's called Tapas and Vino Tinto.
We get a lot of applications of people from who've been to the University of Life.
I am here to impart the knowledge that we do not need to be stressed in life. We can be chill... and understand how it all happened is easy. You just chill, and that's the best way for life.
Okay, thanks, Juan Pedro. I think we'll let you know. Okay, we've got your email address.
Okay. You have my. I get a text from Dave. He says, "Hello."
Okay, that's another great contribution from Dave.
Yes.
Okay, look, we'll let you both know. Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks very much. All right, just close the door on your way out. Thank you. Oh, God. And I haven't had any coffee this morning either. God, what a day it's turning out to be. Le Metro is crowded, and then I've got bloody Dave and Juan Pedro. I don't believe their story at all. Here's another person.
Hey there. Oh, my God. Finally an English speaker here.
I can even hear his voice through the door, which is still closed. Hello.
Hi there.
So take a seat.
Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Right, so obviously I'm just going to give you a quick interview here as part of the Expats program.
Sounds great.
So can you just start by just telling me your name?
My name is Bradley. Most of my friends call me Brad.
Okay, all right, that's nice. I'll just write about it. A surname?
Johnson.
Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Are you perhaps American by any chance?
How did you guess?
Don't know, just the... I don't know.
Yeah, I'm from the US. I came to Paris. Things are great. And I heard about this new program and I'm like, oh, I really want to integrate myself here and get some more money and, you know, live the French dream of...
That's fantastic.
Of doing nothing.
Oh, the French dream of doing nothing?
Yeah. I heard this country is full of people that don't really work and like they get paid to do it. And I don't know, like we don't really have welfare in the US. And, you know, since Trump got elected, I was like, oh, this is a good time to leave.
To be honest, part of the expat, I mean, you should have read this in the leaflet, but part of the expat program is that we want people to come to contribute something.
Expat? So I used to be a prat and now I'm a good guy.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but we want people who can contribute. So what was your understanding of the French dream again?
Well, you get paid a lot of money to do nothing.
Right.
Well, not necessarily a lot of money, but you can get paid money to do nothing while you're looking for a job. And it's like, I can't remember what that thing is called in the US. I mean, I'm so like, you know, confused now between the two cultures because they're really different. And we've got welfare, which is like the system over there. And it's a different system. Like if you're not working, you don't really get that much help. And
can I just ask you? So I'm attempting to sort of encourage people to work here. That's part of the deal of the program. So
right.
Let's explore the things you can do. Okay. So what's your skill set?
Well, I can cook really well.
Really?
I can make like the best ever like Cincinnati hot pot. It's incredible.
Do you have experience of working in a kitchen professionally?
In my own kitchen, yeah. I mean, my wife used to call me a professional cook, but
you're married.
She died.
Oh God, I'm terribly sorry to hear about that. That's tragic. Yeah. Is that part of the reason you came here?
Yeah, I needed to clear my head a little bit, and I realized that the food here isn't so great. So I think I want to, you know, to show people what kind of like real food and good food is, you know.
France is internationally renowned for the quality of its food.
Yeah, not where I'm from.
Okay.
It's all pretentious. People are like, oh, check me out, my croissant. No.
Brad, can I just level with you here for a moment? I have to admit, I'm struggling to kind of find out how I can give you a place on this program.
I just need your goddamn money to sit around and do nothing while I eat croissants and pan au chocolats and small coffees.
Hold on a minute, Brad. I've just received an email. Okay, that's interesting. Oh. Okay, so it's just... That changes things. Just a new directive from head office. Apparently, you fit our profile perfectly.
Beautiful.
I read the wrong email. Apparently, that's exactly what France is looking for. More people who will sit around doing nothing and who expect to get paid for not doing it.
Well, there we have it. Thank you so much.
Have you met Juan... what's his name? Juan Pedro and Dave, by any chance?
No, who are they?
Oh, you're going to really get on with them.
Oh.
It's amazing because I met two other guys this morning who basically share the same worldview. It's amazing, isn't it? The way that the world is such a small place that...
Are they looking for a housemate, for a roommate? Because
yes, they may. Well, we could probably put the three of you together. It's amazing, isn't it, how the same general worldview of I want to sit around, do nothing, and get paid for it really crosses all boundaries. I think you're going to get on really well.
Well, because if you think of evolution, like we never had work before. We just had to go out and get our food, and then we just chilled out, right? There was no, oh, I need to have a job to bring back money so I can eat. We used to go hunting, and that was it. I like to go back to that, and France is the closest thing in the Western world where it provides food, and we can just do nothing and have enough money to pay the rent.
Well, there is quite a lot of hunting in France. I'm just trying to put a positive spin on this because it's one of those days. There's a lot of hunting that can be done here, so I think you're going to fit in just great. Thanks.
House hunting, animal hunting, ladies hunting. Hi there, my name's Brad. I'm from America. Would you like to suck on this?
Can you just hold on a second, Brad? I'm just going to write another email to my boss. Dear Jean-Pierre, I quit. Thank you.
Woo! You get to earn all the money and do nothing in the world. High five!
Okay, let's go to the bar. And sit around drinking coffee and judging everyone. Yay!
Whoop, whoop.
So that's the pitch?
So that's the pitch for the TV show, basically, yeah.
Okay. you could develop that, certainly.
Yeah. I think, yeah, if the scripts were written and it was funny, I think it could work.
It could do, couldn't it? So many different things.
That could be three expats living together.
Mm-hmm.
And I play all three of them.
Okay, you need a female character in there too.
I'll do the Valley Girl then. That's what I'll do. I'll just do. Oh my god!
Right,
I can do that more. Better. That's the only female voice I'm good at doing. The Spanish female voice.
I thought Juan Pedro was quite convincing, actually.
yes. How are you?
No, I can't do it. It's got to be an Anglophone English woman. I can do the Valley Girl.
Oh my god! I saw Paris and like the films. And I like really wanted to come here, so now I'm here. Oh my god.
So there you go, folks. That is finally the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening. I'm speaking really quickly. I'm going to try and keep speaking like this as long as I possibly can without actually meaning anything. And I have to just keep going. And it's just all one sentence and I haven't even taken a breath. But thank you so much for listening. I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.